The message this week is titled, The Gift of Sanctification, and the reading is from Romans chapter 6, verses 15 to 23. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that, though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Good morning, everyone. Glad that you're with us this morning. Please bear with me as I'm fighting a cold like many of you are today. So we've been talking now for a while about gifts that God continually gives to us. I always remember this very true story that happened several years ago of a visiting minister attending a church where he was guest speaking several times throughout that weekend. And after it was over, a little girl came up to him and said, "I like you." She said, "I like what you had to say, and I like the stories that you told. I made you a gift." And the visiting minister was, you know, really appreciative of it. I said, what? And she said, "I made this little pendant for you." And it was beautiful. It was so beautiful that the visiting minister looked at the girl and looked at the gift and said, "Oh, honey, I can't take that. That's too beautiful. You keep that." And the minister of the church came alongside the visiting minister and said, "You have to realize something. This girl made this gift for you. And when you say no to the gift, that little girl is thinking that you're saying no to her. When you reject the gift, you're rejecting that little girl." I know that was not the minister's intent, but he's absolutely correct. That we have no problem giving gifts, but for some reason we struggle with gifts given to us, especially given out of the blue. But I wonder if sometimes God feels the same way as that little girl. "I have given you myself." And Jesus is saying, "I've given you myself." And the Holy Spirit is saying, "I'm giving you myself. I'm giving you, crediting to you righteousness, justification, grace. I'm giving you baptism as a gift, not to be argued, not to be debated, but to receive as a gift. I'm giving you the sacraments of communion, not to argue over it, but to receive the gift. And if you're saying no to the gift of God, I wonder sometimes if God might feel the way that little girl felt. Why are you saying no to me?" I want to spend some time today talking about a very religious word, the word of sanctification. And any word must be understood in context, but Paul, when he uses the word sanctification, always means growing and maturing in Christ with the Holy Spirit helping us to grow and mature in Christ. That's absolutely essential. The gift of God's Holy Spirit is God working in our life, the Holy Spirit working in our life, helping us, motivating us, encouraging us to grow and mature in Christ Jesus. That's Paul's definition all throughout the New Testament. Growing and maturing in Christ, but the gift of the Holy Spirit is helping us to grow and mature in Christ. So I want to spend some time talking about this. And all throughout the Bible, we have discussions of how God feels about us. So for example, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, God reminds us, you are a chosen person, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you might declare the praises of him who called you out of his glorious light. Meaning this, let's go back to the story. This little girl comes to the visiting minister and said, I like you. I like what you had to say. You tell good stories. I made something for you. And we look at this gift. And if that minister had said, wow, you made that for me? It's beautiful. I'm going to take this with me. And for the rest of my life, I'm going to remember that you gave me this gift. Maybe someday I'm going to see you in 10 or 15 or 20 years, and you're going to be married and you're going to have kids. I'm always going to remember you because you gave me this wonderful gift. And I wonder if that's how God feels about us. He's pouring himself out into our lives, gift. We receive these gifts, and we're going to remember God for the rest of our life. We're going to remember Christ for the rest of our life. Not just remember, but engage in relationship. So, this is why Peter reminds us. Here's the gift of God. You're a chosen person. You're not just an everyday person. I made you. You're a chosen person. You are royal. Have we ever thought of ourselves in this way? And we might say, no, I don't. But can you hear God saying that about us? It's a gift. Here, I've chosen you. I'm giving myself to you. What do we do with this gift? So in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, this word of sanctification comes true. So Paul says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, a gift. Here's the gift. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. Rooted, built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. And I had to chuckle when I read this passage of scripture this past week because it reminded me of marriage. You know, you first get married, everything's great, you're trying to figure out, how do I live with this person? How does she live with me? How is this all going to work out? And you know, you have your squabbles and you're trying to figure things out. And then as the years go by, you realize, this is the greatest gift ever. This relationship is just so awesome. This gift where we can almost tell what, just by looking at the other person, what they're thinking. This talking, this sharing, and more than anything else, the laughing, the joy, the chuckles, the good times. Just being there, sharing tears, sharing laughter, sharing love. See, marriage is not just positional, it's relational. I mean, when you get married, the priest or whoever can say, your husband and wife, you're now married, congratulations. Well, there's more to a marriage than the words. It's this ongoing relationship and the gift of this precious love that is profound. It's the gift of yes. All the gifts God pours out into our lives need a response. Yes. God says, I'm giving you myself. We're going to say yes, and I'm going to remember this for the rest of my life, and I'm going to treat this gift of preciousness. And that's how God feels about us and how we respond to him. So sometimes after church, people go out for lunch. Today we're going to have lunch in the fellowship hall. If you can make it, that would be great. But there's more to lunch than lunch, isn't there? If you're going out with somebody, we sometimes forget what we ate, but we'll always remember what we talked about. It's just getting together. It's this relationship that's ongoing. It's not just positional. It's relaxing time. We're going to have this nice conversation. So you go out for lunch. And I remember two ladies in church, best friends, going out for lunch one day. And as they're discussing church service that day, maybe particularly the sermon, they were chatting back and forth. And one of the wonderful ladies said, you know, what got my attention today was that the best thing in life is knowing that we're saved. That's the greatest thing in the world, is to know deep in our bones that we're saved. And the friend didn't respond, which kind of shocked this woman who spoke it. And she turned to her friend, whom she'd known for years, and said, we've been going to the same church for a long, long time. You're not responding to me that the greatest thing to ever know is that we're saved. And this friend said, yeah. She said, yeah, I heard you. I just think there's something better than that, which shocked this woman. What? What in the world could be better than knowing that you're saved? And she said, it's living every day and talking every day to the one who saves us. Christianity is not just positional, where we stand back and we say, God loves me, he's given me Jesus, I've accepted him, I'm baptized, I take communion, check, 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 check. Positional Christianity. But relational Christianity is when I take communion, I'm participating with Christ in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. I remember the gift of baptism, this joining with Christ. I don't treat prayer lightly. It's relational. As we talk to our best friends, soulmates, and we pour out our souls to one another, we trust each other that there's confidences that will never be betrayed. We love each other. We give ourselves to one another. That's how God feels about us. It's not just, I've got the facts. It's not a definition of sanctification. It's an ongoing process of living and enjoying the gifts God pours out into our lives. I think if God said, I'm going to give you another 100 years, it wouldn't be long enough to understand all the gifts he gives us. And so in this book of Romans, he's constantly talking about these marvelous gifts. In the book of 2 Corinthians, I always think this is interesting. When Paul writes his letters, he sometimes says something really profound at the beginning of a letter, and sometimes something really profound at the end of the letter. And this comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and 14. And if you remember the story of Corinth itself, what the church in Corinth was like, several letters going back and forth. We have 1st and 2nd Corinthians. William Barclay, and I tend to agree with him, says, no, there's probably at least 3 letters. We're not sure that there's one that we've really all got yet. Part of 2 and part of 3 are all together. It's Paul just writing letters. But he writes letters relationally, talking about their relationship with Christ. How does he finish? This is so cool. So 2 Corinthians 13, 14. May the gift of grace of the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, may the gift of the love of God, may the gift of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And I never read it that way before. Here's how I used to read it. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That's right. That's what it says. But when we understand this is the gift of gifts. I poured my heart out to you, Paul says. Now here's what I want to conclude. Remember, grace is a gift. Jesus is a gift. God is a gift. The fellowship, this ongoing fellowship, is a gift. So what I want to do for the remainder of our time today, which will be brief, is just notice how the Holy Spirit in the book of Romans, particularly chapter 8, just looking in chapter 8, helps us to grow and mature in Christ. In some ways, we have to be selfish when we read these passages, meaning we put ourselves here. Paul speaking to us, as he spoke to the individuals in the church at Rome, God now speaks to us through Paul. Notice what the Holy Spirit does in helping us. And before we read it, would you go back with me to the beginning of this lesson? Someone gives you a gift. Oh, it's too precious. No. You keep it. You keep it. And that little girl's thinking, you're saying no to my gift. Why don't you like me? Why are you saying no to me? If we reject the gift, that little girl's thinking for the rest of her life, that man rejected me. Here's the Holy Spirit helping us to understand never to reject, but to receive it. So he says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 and 2, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Holy Spirit of life has set me free. That sounds good, reading it, but this is how many of us read this. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Yeah, but you don't know what I just thought. And I'm sure that if God knew what I just thought, that passage wouldn't work for me. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Holy Spirit has set me free. Well, I don't feel free. Is that God's Holy Spirit lying to us? He's wanting us to understand that there's more to us than us, and that this relationship, this gift that God is giving us, is see yourself the way I see you. Here's my gift to you. Myself, I've set you free through the Holy Spirit. Then, verse 11. Probably, this is a profound passage that many of us have not really considered, but at funeral times, we think about it. Listen to what he says in verse 11. And if the Holy Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, stop. How many of us believe, raise your hand if you do, how many of us believe that it was God who raised Jesus from the dead? Just raise your hand. That's just about everybody. Okay, if you believe that, and I do too, then let's pay attention to this. And if the Holy Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, is living in you, the gift of God, the gift of Jesus, the gift of the Holy Spirit, is living in you, then God, who raised Christ from the dead, will also, what? Give life to your mortal bodies through his Holy Spirit, who what? Who lives in you. You can debate it if you want, but God's saying, here, this gift, receive this gift. And then 16:17, the Holy Spirit himself tells us, testifies with our own spirit that we are God's children. And if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, we've done that, in order that we may also share in his glory. And then these last words, very familiar words. The problem that happens sometimes with familiar words is that we skim over it. I'd like us to go deep as we conclude the sermon today. 31 to 39, God speaking to us. What then shall we say in response to all these gifts? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave Jesus up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies, the gift of justification. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, is also interceding for us. So, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? He's not. Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it's written, for your sake we face death all day long, we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? So a visiting preacher was at a church. And at the end of the series, he was walking down the hall with the minister, and a little girl came up to him. And she said, "I like you. I like your stories. I made something for you." And the minister looked, and it was a beautiful pendant. And he said, "You made that for me?" She said, "Yes." He said, "Thank you. I will keep this gift for the rest of my life. I will remember you forever." And that's how God feels about us. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.